You are Locked On MLB, your daily MLB podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, baseball fans, and welcome to Locked On MLB, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. This is the daily baseball podcast. We cover all of Major League teams. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully. I'm recording this on the hottest day ever recorded by anyone ever. And it will drop on the 12th of June, 2019. And I'm here to remind you that this episode is brought to you in part by Hotels.com. Don't hate like your friends. Trip, book your own with Hotels.com and get rewarded basically everywhere. Hotels.com, be there. Do that. Get rewarded. You can subscribe to this podcast on the Himalaya podcasting app. You can also check us out on whatever iTunes and Apple Podcasts are called today. I don't know what it's called, neither do you, but if you have an iPhone, you can listen to the podcast. I guarantee it. I'll men's warehouse that SOB and guarantee it. Also on Google Play, Podbeam, all that stuff. We're also directly on the website, LockedOnMLB.com, and if you get in your car and you're fortunate enough to have a smart device, say, hey, smart device, play podcast Locked On MLB, or check out some of the other terrific podcasts on the Locked On Podcast Network, including the Locked On Rangers show, as Morgan Price, the co-host of that show, and I are locking antlers with the Red Sox and Rangers battling. In fact, they're battling right now as I record this podcast. And what else am I? Oh, follow us on Twitter, Locked On MLB. Follow us on Instagram, Locked On MLB. Send me questions directly on Twitter at Sully Baseball or at Sully Baseball Podcast on Instagram. For some of you who are not on Twitter, want to ask me questions, go send me something via Instagram. I'll answer those too. I got an episode coming out on Friday where I answer a bunch of tweets and give some more thoughts. That should be a lot of fun. It's so hot here. I know you don't care. This is not Locked On weather. But it's 400 degrees Kelvin here in the San Francisco Bay Area. And at my job today, there was no air conditioning. And where I'm staying at right now, there's no air conditioning in the house. And I've been to people's homes where they don't have air conditioning. And I look at them and say, you know, it's 2019. I can go to Best Buy and pick up one for a decent price. And I've heard people say things like, oh, I don't like the feeling of air conditioning. I said, okay, I guess you like the feeling of panting, sweating, and waiting for the release of death. That's what I'm feeling right now. And unfortunately, I'm not going to sweat off 45 pounds in the course of today. But anyway, it's hot. And because of that, I'm not going to be able to stay up late tonight and cover all the games. But I do want to talk about a couple of things because there's some things that are on my mind, especially based upon two recent events that happen every single year. They're not a big surprise. And fans of the old Sully Baseball podcast will know what I'm talking about and some of my thoughts because I covered this in the old podcast as well. But I want to share it with you, my Locked On MLB listeners here. We're starting the All-Star ballots. And I've talked about this on this podcast, that I believe the season should start with the All-Star game. I'm a big believer in that. I think it's a spectacular opening of the season that involves all the stars. In fact, I think that's a good name for the game, All-Star game. I will not penalize the players who have a terrific second half of the season and unjustly reward those who have terrific first halves of the season. Think about that when you're filling out your All-Star game ballot. What are you basing it on? Are you basing it on their performance last year or their performance this year? Because if you're using it for the performance of this year, you're basically saying, we are going to celebrate the people and how they perform in the first 2.5 months of the season. And if you're not including how they finished last year, then basically you're saying it doesn't matter how you do in the second half of the season. I think what they should do on the All-Star game ballots, if you want to check out their statistics and everything to make the best judgment, I think what they should do is have the previous 162 games. Like if today's, I'm recording this on the 11th of June. Have it go back to starting from June 12th of last year to now. What would their stats be for a full season? I think that's fair. Because let's say you have someone like, I'm just going to pull one out, Joey Votto. Joey Votto's not off to a great start this year. He's one of my favorite players in baseball, and I think he's putting together a potential Hall of Fame career. He's not having a great start to his season this year. But what if he has a spectacular second half of the year? What if he has one of those carry his team on his back types of years, and he's not rewarded with being an all-star because you're only basing on the first half of the season? This happens more often than you think. There have been times where players have won the most valuable player, like Kirk Gibson, like Terry Pendleton. And in both of those situations, those are players who did what I just said, picked the team up, put them on their back, and carried them. Okay, I actually think Earl Hershiser should have won the MVP in 1988, but I digress. Kirk Gibson didn't make the All-Star team the year he won the MVP. Terry Pendleton didn't make the All-Star team the year he won the MVP with the Atlanta Braves in 1991. Jake Arrieta was an unstoppable force of nature in 2015 when he won the Cy Young Award and just handcuffed a Pittsburgh Pirate team that I believe if they got past the wildcard game would have won the pennant. Arrieta was not named to the All-Star team that year because he had a good first half and an unreal second half. And if you have a tremendous first half and or sometimes even rotten second half, like Tyler Green in 1995 with the Phillies, who had a very good first half and was basically a candidate to be designated for assignment the second half, he gets to call himself an all-star. The all-star game unfairly rewards those who have a good first half. So I believe that we should have their previous 162 games as a metric if they're going to keep the All-Star game as it is now. But I think they should start the season with the All-Star game. Now, I also believe that the Major League Draft will never catch on as a show, as an event, as something other than the hardcore Keith Law, Baseball America subscribing fans will watch. It is a niche, okay? It is one of those gatherings of friends that you get together and say, oh, these are some hardcore fans. We got a corner of a restaurant. We're going to watch it together and have a nice time. That's the MLB draft. Baseball wants it to be Comic-Con and be this big event, but it can't be. It can't be because of how the draft exists. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're the best player in the draft. I don't care if you're a no-doubt-about-it superstar like Bryce Harper or Steven Strasburg going number one. You're not going to see the major leagues right away. It's going to take a couple of years. And there have been enough times that the superstar that's at the top of the draft is a Mark Appel or someone or a Luke Hochevar who either never makes it to the major leagues or is not exactly the impact player that they thought they were going to be. And how many times is it the player is way down the draft board becomes the great star of the draft? You know, Mike Trout being drafted 20-some-odd on the draft, Greg Maddux being a second-round draft pick, people rolling their eyes at the White Sox drafted Frank Thomas when they had a chance at Earl Cunningham. I think that's who it was. There was like someone who was on the board. I remember reading that when he was on the board and the White Sox were criticized for drafting Frank Thomas. And that was the same year, I believe, or maybe in the year before, that the Cubs drafted Ty Griffin. And people were saying, oh my God, how is that disrespectful to Ryan Sandberg? Because Ryan Sandberg was still the starting second baseman, and they drafted a superstar second baseman in Ty Griffin. Well, they found a really, really nice solution to that problem. Griffin never made it to the majors. So the draft is almost impossible to sell. And that's almost impossible to say as a sentence, what I just said. But that being said, I believe that the season should be organized in a different way. And I think it can be organized in a way that can get some of that television experience, that television event experience that the NBA and the NFL have with their draft, and do it in a way that really caters to casual and diehard baseball fans. It's easy to make the NBA and the NFL draft an event. As I've mentioned before, people follow college basketball. People follow college football. Those are major sports. Those championships are major events. And it feels like you're watching a preparation for the big dance. Now, I don't know enough about the NFL to know how many number one picks actually pan out to whatever. I follow the NBA enough to know that first-round picks tend to, you know, the upper lottery picks tend to really pan out. Of course, there are superstars who come right out of high school, but those seem to be the exception rather than the rule. But people see the high level of play of college basketball and college football that you don't necessarily see in college baseball. It's not apples to apples. And so the experience of watching even some tremendously exciting college baseball is not the same. I also think, and it's no small part, the gambling element is a big part of what makes college basketball so huge, because no one really, other than diehard fans, pay attention to the regular season, but then suddenly everyone becomes a college basketball fan right around the time the office pools come out for their brackets. But hear me out. I'm going to rearrange the schedule and start it with an all-star game, but also create the events that will make the middle of the season really interesting, and with TV in mind. This is a good time to remind you, you can subscribe to the show using the Himalaya podcasting app. It's free. It's super easy to use, and has every single podcast you love or are searching for with personally created playlists made just for you by their expert podcast tastemakers. Do you know what a podcast tastemaker is? I don't, but they've got the experts in that field. You got themed collections of shows to help you find the best new podcasts. You can follow what other listeners are listening to, comment, like, share playlists. It's a whole new way to have the podcast experience. It's the Himalaya podcasting app. Find and download Himalaya at the App Store or on Google Play Store. Don't forget to follow Locked On MLB once you're there, or subscribe to some of the other terrific Locked On podcast shows. Himalaya, they're not just mountains in Asia anymore. All right, I know my mom is listening to this, so Mom, just do me a favor and skip ahead a little bit. That'd be great. Thanks. All right, everybody else, let's talk about sex. Good, ready-to-go sex. Now, you can increase your performance and build up your confidence. Everyone but my mom, listen up. I'm talking about BlueChew.com. That's blue like the color blue. BlueChew brings the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra or Cialis, so you know they work. Take them anytime, day or night, on a full stomach, while stuck in traffic after a Dodger game. I don't judge. They're chewable, and they work twice as fast as the pill, so you know you'll be ready quicker than a manager can make a pitching change. Now, everyone I know has tested it, and I have many trustworthy friends who confide with me very personal details. They all tell me it gives them a little extra, and it works great. Now, we baseball fans, we know all about getting a little edge with performance enhancers. And this is just isn't for people who can't perform. This is for anyone who wants something a little extra. Look, Blue Chew is prescribed online, ships to your door, discreet package, no in-person doctor visit, no waiting in the pharmacy, no awkwardness. In fact, the only awkwardness involved in Blue Chew is knowing that my mom is probably still listening. Made in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than a pharmacy. Now, right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Go to BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use the special promo code MLB. Just pay $5 shipping. All of that just by going to BlueChew.com, promo code MLB. Once again, BlueChew.com, promo code MLB. Try it for free. BlueChew, the better, cheaper, and faster choice
Thank you for sponsoring the Locked On MLB podcast.
Okay, this is a little more of Commissioner Sully talking, but I think I'm making sense. And I went back to some of my previous episodes to make sure I didn't already cover this. I don't think I have. Start the season with the All-Star Game. I've demonstrated why. It's a television event. Start the season with all the big stars, everything like that. You're voting in the off-season, so you're still talking about baseball. Okay? Baseball is, kind of paraphrasing the great speech that Robert De Niro gave in The Untouchables, is a lot of times time for individual achievement. It's an individual sport disguised as a team sport. So we can follow the individuals when you put together an all-star team. Now, one of the things that becomes completely incomprehensible to most people when they're following the game is the waiver wire rules. And that they, starting on August 1st, players have to go through waivers in order to be traded. And they could be blocked. And there could be, you have to use some real sneakiness to get a player through waivers. And when a player does go through waivers, it goes, ooh, this player made it through. Does that mean they could be traded? Blah, 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 blah. It always confuses people. Well, let's make it a little more confusing, but a little more fun. Have the entire season, from the opening pitch to the end of the regular season, just before the postseason begins, you have to get players through waivers in order to make a trade. Not just the last of the season, the whole damn year, that it's really tough to make a trade. You got to sneak him through waivers. You got to hope that someone's asleep at the wheel. A team can block him based on the order of the standings and all this stuff. It's almost impossible to pull it off. Except at the 1/3 mark and the 2/3 mark. I'm not having the middle of the season break anymore. I'm giving you two other breaks. One will be roughly after Memorial Day at the 1/3 mark of the season. The other will be at the roughly the 2/3 mark, which will be around August 1st. We'll work out the details later. So look at what happens at this point. The teams get a break. All the teams get a little time off, a couple of days off. And starting with at some appointed time, there will be a big studio with a gigantic clock, and all of the GMs will be there behind tables and everything, like draft day for the NFL and the NBA. The clock will start, and from that moment, all waiver wire restrictions are gone. They're gone. You can trade anyone. You could trade Mike Trout if you wanted to. You could trade Clayton Kershaw if you wanted to. You can make any deal in a 24-hour window. Boom. And with that in mind, you've got teams kind of whispering to each other. You know, once the clock gets started, we got a deal set up. No, maybe, maybe not. Okay? That first third mark of the season and the second third mark of the season, you have the trade spectacular. And what it does is it becomes a day not of obscure college and high school players that you've never heard of, but it becomes major leaguers. It becomes the equivalent of trading baseball cards, but it's actually players who are being moved around. Now, what that does is it creates a tremendous amount of pressure for the teams that come stumbling out of the gate. When you're like, oh, geez, we may be in trouble here. We may not have a contending year. Well, let's create a little feeding frenzy at that point. Giants with Madison Bumgarner. Mariners with Jay Bruce. Some of these players that, you know, that will be out there dangling for the teams that are already out of it. And then all the wild rumors can start. And you have until X amount of time, you have to hand in the trade to the commissioner. They're like, bing, 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 bing. We have a trade to announce. The Reds and the Phillies are working on a deal and blah, 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 blah. Actually, no, Jay Bruce was with the Mariners. That's right. I keep thinking of him as a Cincinnati Red. Forgive me. So you work out something like that. And you create two separate days of absolute throwing steak to piranhas on the trade deadline, on the trade spectaculars. And you make it so in that period of time, It's the Wild Wild West. And it will be better than the Wild Wild West with Will Smith and Kevin Klein, because it will have a sense of purpose. And it becomes these two moments where the players can get a little, you know, give them a little breather. And fans are like, okay, here comes the time for those trades to happen. There's already a ton of interest when it comes to the trade deadline on July 31st. Well, now let's just do it twice and have that sense of building up trades up until that point. No, it's within these 24 hours. You got these 24 hours and you can pull off these deals. After that, the waiver wire restrictions are closed off again. And I believe this rule is in effect this year. I could be wrong, and I'm too hot and exhausted to look it up right now. But I do believe that the July 31st deadline is also the deadline for setting players on the postseason roster. They have to be within your organization before August 1st to be eligible for the postseason. If that's not the case, I read that that was going to be a rule. I'm not sure if it goes into effect this year. I hope it does, because it adds also a little more, you know, a little more oomph. Is that the word I'm looking for? To make sure that the players on your team have a connection with the franchise that is about a third of the season long. Of course, that would have excluded something like Justin Verlander coming to the Astros for 1 month and then becoming a great hero for them. But you know what? I digress. Tell me you wouldn't watch that show. Tell me you wouldn't get hooked. Tell me Twitter wouldn't explode. Tell me you wouldn't have that on your computer. For that 24 hours, all the trades can be made. You go to a fantasy baseball draft, they're doing that, and they have intensity, and that's just for a bunch of yahoos who are throwing in a couple $100 to check their stats on their computer. These are for the real players. This is trading baseball cards, but it's actually the dudes themselves. And you create two television events. You know, the reason why we have the NFL draft as a television event that even permeates my knowledge, I know when it's happening, it's now this gigantic celebration, is because ESPN in the 80s needed to put stuff on TV. When the NFL was approached about televising the draft, they thought, what are you talking about? It's just people saying, oh, we'll pick this guy, we'll pick that guy. There's nothing to televise. There's nothing to show. So, well, we're going to show this, and I think fans will like to watch it. We've got to put something on the TV anyway. Now it is like the Academy Awards. So, this makes a little more sense. The reason why the NFL, Sully, you are absolutely having heat exhaustion right now. The reason why the Major League Baseball draft doesn't work, because we don't know who the hell these players are, and we're not going to see the impact that they're going to have for a few years. Well, this solves those two problems. We know who the hell these players are, and they're being traded to fill needs right now. And you have everyone there, and when a player is being dealt, they're already on their break, and they're saying, oh, looks like I was dealt to Minnesota. And they send them off there. Yes, there's always that weird thing about being in the ballpark when the trade deadline is on and they have to wave a player in and say, no, you've been traded to the Twins. All right, we'll miss that. We'll miss that little wrinkle. But do you know what? I think the show will be a ton of fun because you have all this analysis of like, this team needs this, this player can trade that. Of course, the first one won't be as much of a feeding frenzy because there are enough teams that are, you know, like, right now, the Indians probably should be a team that is looking to trade some of their players because they're not playing that great, and they have very valuable pitchers on their staff. But it's hard for them to pull the trigger on that because they're only two games out of a wild card spot as of this recording, and they've been the division champion for the last few years, and it's tough to say, we're going to tear it down here in May or June when the first break is. But maybe they're offered something they can't refuse. Maybe they would make a team like the Giants be a little more aggressive. I don't know the answer. Neither do you. But those are the two breaks. You have two moments where all the rules are relaxed. You have 24 hours, no waivers necessary. Boom, no questions asked. Boom. It'll be like the purge, except trading baseball players. You may roll your eyes at the suggestion, just like the NFL rolled their eyes at ESPN saying we're going to televise the draft. But whose eyes are rolling now? It would be a television show and an absolute must follow on social media. Like, bing, you'll get your alerts. Oh, there's a new trade. And then the excitement of seeing the commissioner come up. And instead of it be with the first pick in the draft, the Baltimore Orioles drafted a college catcher from Oregon State who you've never heard of and won't see in 2 years. Yay! Instead, it's, we have a trade to announce. The Yankees just acquired Madison Bumgarner. Which one's more exciting? Tell me. Well, I am going to fill a bathtub up with ice and lie in it, so I'll be a Sully answer to a shrimp cocktail tonight. But with that being said, this podcast is available on the Himalaya podcasting app. We're also available on Google Play, whatever the hell they're doing with Apple these days, Podbean, Player FM, all those wonderful places. I say wonderful because sponsorship for the Locked On MLB podcast is always available to all these fine companies. Check us out at LockedOnMLB.com, LockedOnMLB on Twitter, Instagram. Follow me at Sully Baseball on Twitter, or Sully Baseball Podcast on Instagram. You can get in your car and tell your smart device, hey, do you want to do? Play podcast Locked On MLB, or check out some of the other terrific shows on the Locked On Podcast Network. It truly is your team every day. This has been the Overcooked Locked On MLB podcast for the 12th day of June, 2019. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sullivan.